All right, everybody, welcome back to Tech Exceptions. And today I have a very interesting startup to share with you. The name of the startup is Superconductive, and they are building Great Expectations software. So please welcome Abhi Gong, CEO, and James Campbell, CTO. Hi, everyone.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thank you for joining. And today we're going to talk about one very specific and important area in data. And this is data quality and also a term you coined, pipeline death. Abhi, what you just introduced to us, what does that mean, pipeline death?
Yeah, so pipeline debt is technical debt in data pipelines. Just like all other software systems, we think data systems should probably be built under test with documentation. And Great Expectations is built to solve those problems. So we do data testing, we do data documentation, and we augment both of those with what we call data profiling, which is basically automated introspection to help you pull context and pull information out of the data itself, which is helpful for building your tests and helpful for building your documentation.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's definitely one of the areas in data pipelines that are always hard to get, but you definitely know you need them. James, can you tell us a little bit more about what you do and the company itself?
Absolutely. So I'm our CTO, and my focus is on designing the architecture that can support all of the testing. One of the things that's really been interesting for us as we've gotten to work with a lot of companies is how common the problem of dealing with pipeline debt really is. I like to say that the idea for Great Expectations came out of scars of working across a lot of different fields, everywhere from working with really raw data up until the top of the analytics stack and answering reporting and business questions. So it's been a lot of fun for us to get to see so many different people and so many industries that have a common thread through them.
So you're also in charge of the design decisions of the software itself. And it's not, it's also part of the designing the software for the open source and also for the company. So what are some of the criteria that you take in mind when you making this design decisions?
Well, I think for us, the most important part of design has been about enhancing communication. We really view Great Expectations as a way for people to understand the data and also communicate their understanding across different teams. So one of the things that's really interesting and that people notice right away when they start using the library is that all of the expectations are very, very descriptive. We have expectations like expect column values to be in set, and then ones that are reflective of statistical tests like expect column KL divergence threshold to be less than. And what we've found again and again is that whether it's in the tests or in one of the features that Abe mentioned, data docs, making the library support that kind of communication has really been central to what makes it successful.
So basically, it's a lot of areas that kind of repeat themselves and a lot of different features and usages that you see that repeats itself. And I know that you also have a very big community behind you that you're nurturing and building and supporting. Abhi, can you tell us a little bit more about the community?
Yeah, that's been one of the most fun things about working on this project together is from fairly early on, we had people on GitHub. Even when we were doing this as a side project, people jumping in and making contributions and suggesting other ways to do things. It felt like we hit a nerve pretty early. And this common language that James is expressing about expectations, it's been really fun to see that roll out. We've now reached a point where our public Slack channel has over 1,500 people in it. I think we just crossed that line last week. It's been fun to see it just grow and grow. And we're also doing collaboration with a lot of other open source projects like Airflow, Prefect, Daxter, some other cool ones in the works.
Abhi, how do you see working with the community when you also wear the business hat and the community hat?
So we really think that the community comes first on this. Full disclosure, we're at a startup, we have venture funding. There will be a SaaS product in the future. The way we think of it is that will go on top of open source and never detract from it. we're not there yet, to be honest. And in the meantime, we're just excited about making kind of building as much value into the open source community as we can.
Cool. I know it's always a challenge, especially when you kind of, you know, you create open source, so you give it for people, for the community to use for free. And then you think, hey, how do I build a business model on top of it? And how can I, you know, justify hiring all these people and building my business on top of it? So there's always a challenge that, you know, involved in there. But I'm super excited that you're building this, because I think this specific area of data quality and everything that you do is a key point to help us make a better data-driven decisions, especially today in the world of, you know, COVID, and everyone tried to become more resilient towards the situation and have data-driven decisions for the business, just because everything changed so rapidly. And every, you know, if we have a mess in our data, if our data is not good enough, it's going to reflect in the business decisions that we're making, and it's going to reflect in how our business is going to progress and growth. So James, can you walk me through, let's say I want to build an architecture and I want to integrate your software in my architecture of the different data pipelines that I'm putting together for the business to make a data-driven decisions. How do I do it?
Well, I think data pipelines are best tested early and often. Right at the raw data, one of the things that we are astounded at is how valuable it can be to have very simple tests, recency tests and completeness tests, making sure that nothing happened during a data load, so that when you are running a report, you can be very confident that you've got all of the data that you expected. And as people who work in data often realize and see again and again, the problems that crop up are often very subtle. It doesn't mean that all of your data fails to load. It could be data from a particular system, and that really can affect results. So like I said, I think often we think of things best done sort of working from source and down, and then exactly in the opposite direction, working from your report and back, and then sort of meeting in the middle. The reason for that is those are where you often have the most domain expertise and real knowledge about the data. So, you know, at the dashboard reporting level, you often have the most insight into what a common set of what a normal distribution events for a particular system is. And conversely, the data loading or ETL team often knows most what is coming into a data, where all your sources are. And so instrumenting at those places and then continuing to work into the pipeline is really the best way to go. Great Expectations really works well with any of the major pipeline systems that are out there. So that could be everything from cron scripts, cron jobs that you run yourself through to Airflow and DBT and Dagster and other tools that people use to orchestrate their pipelines.
So can you, James, can you give me an example, like a specific data pipeline that you recently worked with and how you integrated Great Expectations into it?
Sure. So we work closely with both at Superconductive with clients that where we offer sort of enhanced services around Great Expectations, as well as community members in Slack. So one of my colleagues is working with a large brand management company that gets a lot of data that includes effectively human generated data, survey responses. And that data can have a lot of different characteristics that make it challenging for analysis, because different vendors, you know, use different coding systems. And so one of the things that Abe mentioned very early in the conversation is profiling. And that's something that we've been able to see be very beneficial in that particular pipeline, because you can identify, for example, things like, there's a field that should have only two values, and there are 16 different values. And I don't want to get into any details of somebody else's pipeline, but we can immediately surface things that we call data surprises. And that's one of the most exciting things about Great Expectations, is just showing someone something surprising about their data that then can inspire a test. We often talk about driving down the amount of time that it is required to help somebody get to their very first data surprise. So, you know, from when you first install Great Expectations until you're looking at your own data and seeing something in it that you didn't know was there, we want that to be measured in just seconds. And it's amazing how often that's the case and how much really surprising meaning is hidden inside data sets that people use every day.
Interesting. There's so much things going into data, and it's so important. It's not only, you know, building reports, it's also the machine learning part. I mean, machine learning is based on the data we feed, you know, our algorithms. So we also need to take care of that. I know you also integrate with different Microsoft services, and you recently introduced another services that you're integrating with. Do you want to share, James, maybe a little bit more?
You know, Abe, actually, do you mind talking about that one? You've been
sure. I was pretty directly involved in that. So actually, just last week, we announced a partnership, an integration with GitHub. The GitHub Actions team did some really cool work integrating Great Expectations so that you can trigger on pull requests, which is it opens up some really interesting workflows. We've always made it a point to prioritize the developer experience and make sure that we play really nice with all the other tools that data developers are using. So integrating not just with Git, but like all the way through the GitHub Actions, that's pretty cool. We also had a lot of demand for SQL Server earlier this year. Like of the kind of SQL engines that we built, it's one of the ones that we were pushed hardest to do by the community. So it was fun to release full support for that. And then aside from that, we just have a lot of people asking for example, examples for how to do deployment on Databricks on Azure or things like that. So we see a really healthy contingent of Microsoft Azure folks in the Great Expectations community.
That's really cool. Interesting to see. And hey, what do you think is next for Great Expectation and Superconductive?
Well, I think one of the areas that we're most excited about moving into next is making it a lot easier for people to extend Great Expectations by adding custom expectations that match what they expect or know of their data. So you can already do that by filling in parameters and expectations we have, like the values in a particular set. But what we're really doing is making it very easy for users to name those expectations and make them integrate more completely with data documentation. So that when you're looking at a expectation suite, for example, you can really clearly see what it means that all the values are in some set. You know, this means that it's a certified or normalized column name, for example. Another thing we're working on is improving performance. As we've been able to work with more and more data sets, we're starting to be able to build the profiling feature in a way that allows us to batch together a lot of the metrics and underlying pieces of information that Great Expectations uses to evaluate tests, but also to discover those surprises in your data set. So we're doing a lot to build out that profiling feature with enhanced performance. And then the last thing that we're doing is building more and more expressivity directly into the library. So just like users can build custom expectations, we're also working to expand the library of expectations to cover more cases around different kinds of, well, from very common scenarios, like there's a lot of temporal expectation that people want to be able to express very, very easily and succinctly, and into more exotic things around conditionality, for example. So we're really excited about all of those directions. There's some pretty clear sequencing, and you know, with anything, we're always listening a lot to the community as well. So, you know, I don't want to run too far ahead of ourselves because, you know, it's just a matter of what, you know, of hearing is, you know, what people need as well, which is made part of what makes Great Expectations so fun, like Abe was describing earlier.
Well, thank you so much for coming in today and sharing about Great Expectation and the open source and the community and everything that you do and how you integrate with different like services like GitHub Actions and Databricks and SQL Server. And I'm definitely looking forward to jump into GitHub, find you there, and start reading more about everything that you're doing. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing and, you know, making it open source and available for everyone.
Thanks so much, Eddie. Thanks for having us on the show. This is really fun to be with you here.
Absolutely.
Thank you. All right. Take care.